I know that much, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. How come you don't get it?
11. Hunger as Pain. Kumiko's Long Letter. Bird as Prophet. I fell asleep a few times and woke up just as often. These were short, unsettled snatches of sleep, as on an airplane. Whenever deep sleep was looming, I would shrink back and wake up. Whenever full wakefulness was about to arrive, I would drift off into sleep in endless repetition. Without changes in the light, time wobbled by like a wagon with a loose axle. My cramped, unnatural posture robbed my body of rest. Each time I woke, I would check the time on my watch. Its pace was heavy and uneven. With nothing better to do, I would pick up the torch and shine it at random, at the ground, at the walls, at the well cover. What I found there was always the same ground, the same walls, the same well cover. The shadows cast by the moving beam would sway, stretch, and shrink, swell and contract. When I tired of this, I would spend time feeling my face, probing every line and crevice, examining my features anew to learn their shape. I had never been seriously concerned about the shape of my ears before this. If someone had told me to draw a picture of my own ears, even a rough sketch, I would have been at a loss. Now, though, I would have been able to reproduce every hollow and curve in accurate detail. I found it odd how different the ears were. I had no idea how this had come about or what effect this lack of symmetry might have. It probably had some effect. The hands of my watch showed 7:28. I must have looked at my watch some 2,000 times since coming down here. Now it was 7:28 at night, that much was certain. At a baseball game, it would be the bottom of the third inning or the top of the fourth. When I was a kid, I used to like to sit up high in the outfield stands and watch the summer day, trying not to end. The sun had sunk below the western horizon, but the afterglow was still brilliant and beautiful. The stadium lights stretched their long shadows across the field as if to hint at something. First one, and then another light would be turned on with the utmost caution shortly after the game got going. Still, there was enough light in the sky to read a newspaper by. The memory of a long day's glow remained at the door to keep the summer night from entering. With patience and persistence, though, the artificial illumination was winning its quiet victory over the light of the sun, bringing forth a flood of festive colors. The brilliant green of the playing field, the handsome black earth, the straight white lines newly drawn upon it, the glinting varnish on the bats of players waiting for their turn at the plate, the cigarette smoke floating in the beams of light, looking on windless days like souls wandering in search of someone to take them in. All these would begin to show up with tremendous clarity. The young beer sellers would hold their hands up in the light, flashing bills tucked between their fingers. The crowd would rise from their seats to follow the path of a high fly ball, their voices rising with its arc or dissolving into a sigh. Small flocks of birds returning to their roosts would fly past towards the sea. This was the stadium at 7:30 in the evening. I thought about the baseball games I had seen over the years. The St. Louis Cardinals had come to Japan once when I was little for a friendly game. I had seen that one with my father from an infield seat. Before the game itself, the Cardinals players stood along the perimeter of the field with baskets full of autographed tennis balls, throwing them into the stands as fast as they could. People went crazy trying to grab a ball for themselves, but I just stayed in my seat without moving. And before I knew it, I had a ball in my lap. It was a magical happening, strange and sudden. I looked at my watch again. 7:36. 8 minutes had gone by since the last look. Just 8 minutes. I took the watch off and held it against my ear. It was ticking away just fine. I shrugged my shoulders in the darkness. Something strange was happening to my sense of time. I decided not to look at my watch for a while. Maybe I didn't have anything else to do, but it wasn't healthy to be looking at a watch this often. I had to make a tremendous effort to keep myself from looking, though. The pain was like what I had felt when I quit smoking. From the moment I decided to give up thinking about time, my mind could think of nothing else. It was a kind of contradiction, a schizoid split. The more I tried to forget about time,